Let me start with 10 questions to get you going this morning. As I ask the questions, I want you to give yourself a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. 1 means none of the time, 2 is a little of the time, 3 for some of the time, 4 is most of the time, 5 is all of the time. This is maybe over the last 4 weeks, okay? How often did you feel tired out for no good reason? 1 to 4. 1 to 5. How often did you feel nervous? How often did you feel so nervous you couldn't, nothing would calm you down? How often did you feel hopeless? How often did you feel restless or fidgety? How often did you feel so restless you couldn't sit still? How often did you feel depressed? How often did you feel that everything was an effort? How often did you feel so sad that nothing would cheer you up? How often did you feel worthless? This is one of the questionnaires used to evaluate mental health. 2 and above, you have a medium risk of suffering depression. Score 3 or above on average, and you have a high risk. Depression has been called the common cold of emotional illness. Here are some of the symptoms. To be honest, most of us get depressed at some point in our lives. For some, it's nearly all the time. For most of us, it's mild. For some, it's clinical. This morning, I want us to consider some of the spiritual causes of depression and discover from Scripture how God can help us overcome it. This is not, however, a substitute for seeking medical advice. If you scored high on those questions, make an appointment to see your GP this week. That even godly people get depressed sometimes. And today we're looking at Elijah. There is an outline in your weekly news, and you may like to follow it with me. The context is that Elijah for 3 years has been God's senior prophet. He has been God's mouthpiece to the entire nation of Israel. God has performed amazing miracles through him, confirming his authority as his prophet. And as a result, there is great spiritual awakening through the whole land. But there is one person in particular who does not like Elijah. Her name is Jezebel, and she is a very wicked lady. She hated Elijah because he had undermined her authority. He had destroyed her prophets. And she sends a messenger to Elijah. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. She was basically saying, if I don't kill you within 24 hours, I'll kill myself. Now, Elijah had been fearless before an entire nation. And suddenly he goes to pieces when a woman threatens his life. See, Elijah was a prime candidate for depression. He was physically tired, he was emotionally exhausted, and someone tipped the balance. They threatened his life. He was an emotional basket, a fruit basket at this point. He had all kinds of problems: fear, resentment, guilt, anger, loneliness, worry. But Elijah became depressed because one incident too many tipped him over the edge. And you know what? James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man just like us. So let's take him off from the pedestal. Let's bring him down to our level. And let's see what we can learn from Elijah. There are 4 mental games that we play sometimes. We're tempted to play. If you want to get depressed, you need to play these 4 games. The first is this. Focus on your feelings, not the facts. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. I've had enough, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm wasting my life, he was saying. I'm trying to be your voice. Nobody's listening. I'm fed up. It's no use. That's it. His first mistake was to focus on his feelings, not the facts. He felt like a failure. He assumed he was a failure. That's called emotional reasoning. I feel it, therefore it must be true. You know, musicians, athletes, film stars, even preachers, know that often after a race or after a performance or after a sermon, you feel really depleted. You're self-conscious. You are physically tired. And someone comes up and ever so innocently says something slightly critical of the sermon, and you feel devastated. Okay? You feel devastated. But most musicians, athletes, film stars at least, know they must ignore those feelings. A rest, some good food, a sleep, and you know you feel so different. The world looks so different after you've had a good night's sleep. Feelings are not facts. They are highly unreliable. And when we focus on our feelings rather than the facts, we're asking for trouble. Instead of saying, I made a mistake, we say, I'm a total failure. Instead of saying, I accidentally tripped, we say, I'm an idiot. Instead of saying, I ate too much, we say, I'm a pig. We label ourselves, and in so doing, we focus on our feelings and not the facts. There's a world of difference between failing at something and being a failure. But if you want to focus on your feelings, not the facts, then you'll be vulnerable to depression. Second mistake that Elijah made was to compare himself with others. Verse 4. I've had enough. Take my life because I'm no better than my ancestors, he said. If you want to get depressed, compare yourself with other people. If only I could be like him. If only I could be like her, I'd be really happy. But we're asking for trouble because invariably we compare our weaknesses with their strengths rather than our strengths with their weaknesses. If you're always trying to imitate other people and act like them, you're going to get depressed. Because the only person you can be is you, the way God made you. Again, one of the traps we fall into is we use the word should. I should be able to be like that person. I should be able to act better. I should be able to accomplish it. I should be able to stop. But whipping ourselves verbally is not going to motivate us. You know that nagging someone else doesn't work. So why do we nag ourselves? Self-criticism doesn't work. But if you want to get depressed, then focus on your feelings and compare yourself with others. Third mistake that Elijah made was he took the blame for others. Verse 10. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken your altars. They put your prophets to death. He was in effect saying, I've worked so hard for 3 years and nothing has been accomplished. They're still living the way they were before. They've rejected you. He took it personally. He blamed himself for the failings of his nation. But that's a responsibility no one can bear. No one can bear. Our responsibility is to share our faith. It is their responsibility how they respond. You can influence people, but you cannot control them. The final decision was theirs. But if you want to get depressed, focus on your feelings, compare yourself with others, and take the blame for others. And fourthly, the fourth mistake that Elijah makes was to exaggerate the negatives. I am the only one left. I'm the only one left in the Church of England who believes the Bible. I'm the only one left. And they're all trying to kill me. It's true. It's true. No. One person threatened his life, but it was the whole world was against him. I mean, to be honest, I don't think that Jezebel dared kill Elijah. If she wanted to kill Elijah, she'd have sent a hitman. She wouldn't have sent a messenger to warn him that she's going to kill him. I think she was afraid of Elijah. She was afraid of what God would do to her. But her words were a threat, but he took them seriously because he was vulnerable. And what did he do? He ran. He ran away. And it's so tempting to do that when you're down. But Elijah wasn't the only person still faithful. He wasn't the only person. There were 7,000, God says, verse 18. But Elijah exaggerated the problem and it made him feel worse. So four games we play that will make you feel worse too. Focus on your feelings, not the facts. Compare yourself with others. Take the blame for others and exaggerate the negatives. So what's God's remedy? What was God's remedy for depression? Well, notice what God does with Elijah. The first is this. God took care of Elijah's physical needs. And if we want to overcome feelings of depression, then we need to do the same. He fell asleep under a tree, and God woke him up. Get up and eat. And there was fresh, warm, baked bread and a glass of clear, crystal water. He ate and drank, and he went back to sleep. The angel wakes him up a second time, get up and eat. And there again is that fresh bread and water. God's initial remedy for Elijah's depression was rest, food, and relaxation. God is tender toward Elijah. There's no scolding, no criticism, but there is a focus on his physical needs. The first step to recovery is to get back in shape physically, to rest, to take care of our physical needs. Maybe you do need to watch your diet, or perhaps you need to get more sleep, or begin a program. But physical health has a profound influence over our moods. God's remedy, take care of your physical needs. Secondly, give your frustrations to God. I've been very zealous for the Lord God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down the altars, put the prophets to death, and I'm the only one left. He poured out his feelings, and God allowed him to let off steam. God wasn't shocked. God was in effect. When you're uptight, let me hear what you're thinking, you're feeling. I already know what they are. I'm not going to be shocked. But tell me how you're feeling. Often it helps for us to do the same in prayer or with a trusted friend. It's a cathartic process of venting. Are things that have been pushed down that have caused our angst. There are six emotions we can tell that Elijah was feeling at this point. He was afraid. He was afraid of Jezebel. He felt guilty. I'm no better than my ancestors. He felt resentment. I've had enough. He was angry. He complained he'd been working so hard for nothing. And he felt lonely. I'm all alone. And he was worried. They're trying to kill me too. When you combine those emotions, resentment, fear, guilt, anger, loneliness, worry, you're asking for trouble. God let him spill it all out. Not once, but twice. Twice God asks him how he's doing. And twice he says exactly the same thing. God's remedy for depression, take care of your physical needs and give your frustrations to him. And thirdly, deepen your personal relationship with him. God did something very interesting. God told Elijah to meet him. And there is this powerful wind. The mountain is torn apart. Then there's an earthquake. And then there's a fire. And then Elijah hears this gentle whisper. Gentle whisper. The Lord made Elijah stand in his presence, and there is the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, and then there's a gentle whisper. That's when Elijah put the cloak over his face. Not because of the wind, not because of the earthquake, not because of the fire, but because he knew he was in the presence of God. Today, this is usually how God speaks to us, in stillness and quietness, as we open his word, as we hear him speak. And where do we find him? Beside us. Don't wait for when you are feeling really low to take your Bible out, get alone with God, and allow him to speak to you and show how much he loves you. There's no greater antidepressant than fellowship with God. God's remedy? Take care of your physical needs. Give your frustrations to God. Deepen your walk with him. And lastly, rediscover God's purpose for your life. The Lord told Elijah, go back the way you came. That's very interesting. You could have gone any direction, but go back the way you came. Retrace your steps. Remember what you were doing before you ran away. Remember what I've called you to do. And when you get there, then I'll tell you what I've got in store for you. God gave Elijah a new assignment. He put him back to work. He was to anoint some new kings, and he was to appoint his successor. The quickest way to overcome feelings of depression is to take our eyes off ourselves and focus on the Lord and his plan for our lives. Because God has a mission, a purpose for each one of us. Like Elijah, we were born to reproduce, to pass on to others what we have learnt from the Lord and what his will for our life is and for them. But if we're looking at ourselves, we will be discouraged. But Jesus says when we lose ourselves for him, we find ourselves. As we invest our lives in his call, we find ourselves. There are five purposes God has for each one of us, and we emphasize these as a church. We will plan for God's pleasure, to know him and enjoy him forever. That's our first purpose, the reason God created us, to worship him and enjoy him. But we were formed to be in God's family. We were not born to be orphans. We were formed for a family to support and encourage each other. But we were created to become like Jesus. God has a purpose. That's his primary purpose, that we become like Jesus in a living relationship with him. But we were shaped with gifts and talents and abilities to serve God in the church and through the church. And we were made for a mission to know Jesus and make Jesus known. God has made us unique and special. He's not disappointed when a cable comes loose or a fuse blows. God knows that we're human. He made us. He knows what makes us tick. Today, let God renew his purpose for you and give you a new direction, because he's not through with you. He wants to lift us out of whatever we're in, whatever we brought, the baggage we brought with us today. And he wants to make us whole. We don't have to be manipulated by our emotions, our circumstances, other people. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My prayer is that as we dwell on what Scripture teaches about these subjects, we will indeed find freedom. You can change. You can change. With his help. Take care of your physical needs. It's very spiritual. Give your frustrations to God. Deepen your personal walk with him. And find God's purpose for your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Elijah. We thank you that he is described as someone just like us. It's so easy to look at individuals in the scriptures and think that we could never be like them. And yet we've seen this morning his humanity, his vulnerableness, his weakness. And in some way, I'm sure we've been able to identify with him. We thank you for the way in which Scripture doesn't just reveal the great miracles you did through him, the awesome ministry he had, but your word also reveals his humanity. And in that, we are so thankful that your word reveals how you ministered to him and restored him to be the person you made him to be. We ask, Lord, that you would do the same work in each and every one of us this morning. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.